Hey, everyone. Welcome to What the Hell? And, you know, it strikes me that it's kind of getting into the holiday season. Can we get a little holiday music, please? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's definitely good. But one of the things that's not so good that happens during the holiday season is shoplifting. And that's what we're talking about on this podcast with our panel of guests. Let me go around the table here and let you introduce yourselves. Commander, why don't you start?
Commander Blake Cho, Los Angeles Police Department.
Joe LaRocca, President, Retail Partners.
Carl Langhorst, Executive Vice President for Alto U.S.
Well, we know what the LAPD is. What is Alto U.S.?
Alto U.S. is an organization, a company that started actually in Chile several years ago, working with retailers and law enforcement to break the cycle of recidivist crime. And okay. We've come up to the U.S. market.
What is your background? You were a cop?
I was. Retired law enforcement, 25 years, and then went over into the retail loss prevention arena. Recently retired for that, and I came over to Alto when I realized the work they were doing could benefit the community.
And was consistent with the kinds of things you had been doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was a great transition over into this.
So as a law enforcement officer, when you were working on these sort of crimes, what did you learn that you felt that needed to be addressed?
Well, one of the things is, from a law enforcement perspective, I realized sometimes retailers really didn't do a good job of providing all the evidence that was needed to prosecute cases. And there were several reasons for that, and I learned those reasons when I migrated over into the retail loss prevention.
What are they?
Well, it could be, first of all, lack of education on the part of the retailer on what is needed. It could be that they just don't have the resources, the professionals, to do what needs to be done.
But then you have a company that can work with retailers. But if they don't have the resources to be able to get the job done, are they able to hire a company?
Absolutely. And so what Alto does and has been very successful across Latin America is we come in, not only provide consulting service to those retailers, but we also gather that evidence up into a nice wrap box, if you will, metaphorically speaking, and taking it to law enforcement and the prosecutors so they have the evidence they need to prosecute these crimes.
One of the things we know is that because people don't end up in jail here in California for certain crimes because of overcrowding, or may get a shortened term because of that. A lot of people may have this feeling that it's no big deal to shoplift, that I'm not going to be punished for that, or I'm not going to be punished for a very long period of time. Commander, what's your feeling about that sort of an attitude?
No, I mean, that is true. That is prevalent out there. And I've known Carl for a few years now, and we've done some really good work with him and his company and the employees that work for us. So, you know, obviously, if that attitude is out there, you're going to have people going in doing a lot of shoplifting, whether that be for personal reasons or for a commercial reason. But we can work with them and work with companies and the retailers and to help bridge the gap with prosecution, to work on things such as prevention, things like that, and how to harden the target.
I want to transfer into this sort of crime ring, if you will. But before I do that, a lot of kids will dare other kids to steal a pack of gum or to shoplift. I've known a couple of people who have told me they did that when they were kids and then they were really embarrassed by it. How much of a problem is there from young kids?
It rears its head every now and then. I don't see it a lot, but you know, we do have instances where young kids will come in groups into a retail establishment, try to overwhelm the clerk and steal what they can and run out. That's where working with our private companies like Alto and places like that is important, but also getting video evidence from CCTV cameras and from people that are in the store is really important for prosecution purposes.
CCTV being security cameras or surveillance cameras, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Joe, so talk to me a little bit about this idea of organized crime.
Well, sure. The typical person thinks of shoplifting as, in your case, little Johnny stealing a pack of bubble gum. And that's not the type of crime we're talking about. Organized retail crime is usually consists of multiple people targeting multiple stores over multiple occurrences. They're stealing thousands of dollars of merchandise at any one time. They're not using it for personal consumption. They're reselling it in a secondary market. So they're stealing the latest telephones or over-the-counter drugs, et cetera.
Electronics.
Exactly.
Those are big.
Right. And then typically we see them liquidate those products in one of three channels. They sell it right on the street. You know, you can imagine the person selling out of the trunk of their car in the gas station parking lot. They might sell it over the internet, which is a very lucrative way of reselling the item and very low risk because it's an anonymous seller ID. Or they return it back to the stores in some case, make a significant profit.
Does some of this stuff end up like on eBay?
It does. We see resale in the secondary market quite a bit. And the products, while they sell on the street for anywhere from 10 to 30 cents on the dollar, they sell through online marketplaces like eBay and other classified sites for 60 to 90 cents on the dollar.
So this is something I've wondered about before. You know, this is not an indictment of eBay. But you have companies like eBay that provide a place for people to be able to sell things. And then you get the bad guys. And the bad guys take the thing they stole from the store, they go to eBay, and they act like this is a new product, still in the box, which should raise a red flag somewhere. And they're going to buy it, they're going to sell it, and you're going to buy it from them. That's a big issue, right?
It is. It does happen. And, you know, there are other websites other than eBay, Craigslist, is a perfect example of where we do see stolen items end up for sale. You know, and I think our motto has always been, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is.
So who goes after those people?
We do. Lots of times.
LAPD.
LAPD does, yes. We'll have times where we have something that is stolen that is really unique, and we have detectives that will search the internet to look for that item. We found it a few times, and we'll actually set something up, and we'll go make an arrest.
Do you have an internet task force?
We have internet task forces at work, that type of thing, but mainly a lot of that comes from our area detectives. So that's kind of a more localized level, but they'll actually put a plan together if we find stuff that's stolen.
I understand the area detectives doing things like shoplifting in a certain area or at a local mall or at the convenience store down the street. That's kind of where the area detectives and the neighborhood watch groups work?
Yes.
To try to help get a handle on that?
Well, we see that law enforcement's a great partner in working through the crime, but in many cases, the retailers for a decade now have deployed significant resources, monitoring at the corporate office, working in partnership with some of these online sites like eBay, as one example, where they're identifying people that are stealing and reselling or fraudulently obtaining and reselling goods online and putting those sellers out of business. This is a significant challenge because you don't have a face or a name associated with the person. So the marketplace is really just connecting buyers and sellers. The retailer and the marketplace together now work together to identify the crime that takes place. And in partnership with LAPD, or in some cases, these are federal crimes where the goods are shipped overseas or in such large quantities, the federal agencies get involved as well.
It sounds like a fairly sizable proposition.
Huge.
Huge.
Huge. And it has been for years, and it continues to grow. It's very a lucrative business for crime to get income.
So the attack that you want is the one on the people behind the people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You want to go after those rings.
Johnny and the pack of gum is not whom we're after. We certainly want to deter Johnny from stealing in the first place. But
that's good parenting, right?
Well, among other things, yes, absolutely. But Johnny stealing the pack of the gum is not putting retailers out of business, and it's not creating the dangerous incidents that we're talking about and we're seeing just becoming increasingly more of a challenge, not only for retailers but for customers in the stores.
Well, we've seen some of this end up in fisticuffs and all kinds of really very, very dangerous situations.
It's dangerous for everybody. It's dangerous for everybody. Law enforcement, first responders coming out there. We see time and time again that those are escalating.
I understand the idea of putting cameras in places. We have cameras here in our studios. Smile. Look at the ceiling.
Yes, sir.
Kidding.
Right.
But you know, we see cameras everywhere. We live in, you know, a world of cameras anymore. And so you'd think there's plenty of cameras to be able to get images of people doing bad things. But what else can you do besides cameras? I know if you see something, say something. And I know that you can put up signs and you can do things that tell people you're being watched, you're being monitored. But what else can you do? I mean, these are things that have been done for years.
Well, I think part of the thing that we found very effective with Alto is there are a certain amount of people that just aren't going to be deterred by anything. There's just that criminal element for one reason or another aren't going to be deterred. And that makes it all the more important, the alliances that we are working with retailers and bringing them in with law enforcement. And it's not a one-off communication. It really starts at the district with a senior lead officer all the way up to the in this case with LAPD, the executives like Commander Chow and others, making sure that they understand that someone is out there to assist them communicating with the retailers, and the retailers understand that there's someone in the form of Alto that is able to assist them with law enforcement when needed.
So when community policing was introduced, and I guess that was under Bill Bratton when he was chief, this was the idea behind it, wasn't it? For people to work together.
It was. You know, arresting and prosecution is not the sole answer to solving these problems. We will send personnel out to look at stores, work with companies like Alto. We'll look at what's being stolen. We'll make recommendations for security. You mentioned some of the cameras, lighting. Even placement of product can have an important impact on whether something's stolen.
You know, sometimes you go into a store and you see certain things that you think could be five-fingered, right, the old term. But then you see that the store has locked that rack. It might be a rack of lightning cables for your iPhone, or it might be headsets, and they've locked it. They put it behind a glass cabinet. These are some of the security measures some have taken.
And quite frankly, that's the last thing a retailer wants to do. A customer, any of us, want to go into the store, and first of all, we want to pick up that product, touch that product, look at it, read about it. And when the retailer has to lock it up, they're depriving that customer of doing that. And then the additional staffing it requires to bring over someone to unlock that. So it's frustrating for the retailer, but in some cases, they just can't keep the product on the shelf if they don't lock it up.
And that's even with magnetometers at the door.
It absolutely is. I don't think customers sometimes understand, and nor would they, that all the measures that retailers are going to already to try to limit their losses and try to stop this. It's not like they want people coming in stealing from them. But the problem is still prevalent for a multitude of reasons.
It's interesting because when I think of gangs in the terms of crime, I'm thinking of, Chicago, the 1940s, Al Capone. I mean, you know, I'm thinking about those kind of gangs. I'm also thinking about the gangs here in L.A. But there's all kinds of gangs. There's all kinds of organized crime. And so how sophisticated is some of this organized crime?
It's very sophisticated. In fact, what we know is that these gangs use retail crime as a gateway. It's not uncommon to see two things. The first is that retail criminals will start small, and then crimes escalate into robberies and then late-night burglaries, and then work in collusion with even employees in the store. The second thing that we see are the funds or the proceeds from these ill-gotten gains going into drugs, weapons, money laundering, tax evasion, and other more very serious crimes, even in some cases funding terrorism, that really alarm both retailers and law enforcement agencies as these things happen.
So that's really interesting because it sounds like we've taken something small, and when you get to the root of it, it's really something very big.
It has. I mean, I would just baby formula, shoplifting a baby formula. At one point in time, we noticed just a lot of baby formula being shoplifted, and we couldn't figure out why somebody would want to shoplift a can or two of baby formula. But it turned out that baby formula was being packaged, resold, packaged, and then resold, and it was actually funding organized crime network, something that simple that you would never
really?
Even imagine.
And that was here in L.A.?
Yes.
How long ago was that?
That was probably about 2 or 3 years ago, but that was one of the major organized crime shoplifting pieces that kind of came up through.
Were you able to get to the ring?
We were.
Were you able to arrest them?
They were.
What kind of charges and penalties did they face?
You know, it was theft, and it was just the furtherance of the criminal organization. network. It's just you wouldn't even think that shoplifting a baby for him would be an issue, but that's where it led.
Did they go to jail?
Yes, they did.
Did they have prison time?
I believe they did.
Was it cut in half because of overcrowding?
I couldn't answer that one.
I mean, that seems to be the root of all evil. That because we have this law in California that allows people to get out, especially more minor crimes, that the recidivism is huge.
That's the sad truth in California, that retail crime in general is low risk, high reward for people. So in California, we've been in this unique situation now since 2011 with Assembly Bill 109 and then Prop 47 in 2014 and 57 in 2016. And along the way, we just incrementally make retail crime a smaller and smaller issue, almost like a traffic ticket today, where it's a cite and release and we never see the person again.
But see, you're talking about nearly $50 billion a year.
That's right.
And losses for retailers, nearly $50 billion.
And that's just merchandise.
This is where I want to say, what the hell?
Yeah, Hal, here's the problem. The truth is that the $50 billion that we cite in our own surveys is really minimizing the overall losses, because that's just merchandise.
Absolutely.
Add on that the fraud issues, the cash that's stolen from stores, the time lost when people break windows or damage the cash register, the safety challenges for the employees and for the community. This is a significant problem that's not going away.
And not to get too far off the beaten path, when somebody goes to have a good time shopping, to buy things for their kids and things for their loved ones, they can become victims in other ways. And I'm just bringing this up because I'm just bringing this up, but smash and grab robberies. You got a car, you got a lot full of cars in a mall. All these people are in there shopping. They come out, they put some bags in the car, they go back into the mall, and somebody says, I can get that. And they smash and grab a window and grab the goodies out of the car.
No, it is. That's why we ramp up right around the holidays, starting right now, where we actually address that. We go on a big education campaign to tell people, when you're shopping, do not leave anything of value in your car. You don't want to spend hundreds or thousands of dollars on presents, put them in your car, go to another store and come back out and you have a smashed window and everything's gone. So it's a lot of education to make sure that, you know, people understand that. It's a lot of working with security to make sure that they're looking for those types of things too.
So talking about education, let's run it around the table here. What can you tell people that are listening to this podcast that can help them not get caught up in a situation, whatever that situation might happen to be, with regard to a shoplifting? What would you tell retailers? What would you tell shoppers?
Well, what I would say is, this starts with, at the very basic level, with educating our children that retail crime is a serious issue and it's wrong to steal from stores. Start there. The next thing is, stores can do a lot, along with consumers. People don't want to get caught committing a crime. It's much like being on the highway speeding along, and when you see a highway patrol get behind you, you slow down. The crime no longer is committed, right? The same is true in retail. So it's about great customer service. It's about addressing problems. If you as a consumer see something, say something to the store management. And stores work closely with law enforcement to address these issues so they can deploy resources in the proper place.
Carl?
Yeah, and to piggyback on Joe's comments about the retailers, you know, law enforcement, and I've found them more than willing to help in Los Angeles in our time out here in the last year and a half. But retailers have to meet them halfway, and they have to report these incidents, and they have to get the evidence to them, and that's where we come in.
And what we know, though, is some retailers won't even bother because they feel that the suspect isn't going to be punished, so why go to all the trouble?
Yeah, and quite frankly, I you know, in all honesty, I probably have said that too when I was in the retail side of it. But as I got here and I started looking at it, California does have laws. They're certainly not stellar laws for holding people accountable on retail theft, but there are laws. And we've been very successful in utilizing and working with authorities and seeing that those laws that are on the books are utilized to help deter.
Now, I know you and I have talked about the idea that getting video of somebody is a good thing to help show the public or to be able to show police who are investigating who the bad person is. That's why there are CCTV cameras that you recommend in these stores, so they document who's coming in, who's going out, what they're doing. But also people have this propensity now to use their smartphone. And it's like, you know, you have a piece of chicken, take a video. You know, you anything, take a video. Put it on Facebook, right?
Right.
Well, there should be some thought given to when to use that smartphone when you're near a bad person, right?
Absolutely.
You can get hurt.
Thought number one is don't do anything to put yourself in harm's way or anybody with you. That's
thought number one.
That is thought number one.
What's thought number two?
Thought number two is that you don't want to publicly post that video. You don't always know the circumstances. So before you put it out there, there's privacy concerns, and you perhaps want to give it to the store or to law enforcement to properly evaluate. You just don't know the situation or all the circumstances, and we want to make sure that the facts really matter.
And I'm sure there's a thought number three.
There is. It's be alert and be smart when you're shopping.
See how smart I was? I knew there was a thought number three. That's pretty brilliant. Good. Well, let me just ask you, gentlemen, if there's anything else you'd like people to understand, and let's make this our final thought. And Carl, why don't we start with you? We'll go to Joe, and then we'll go to the commander.
Well, my thought has been that this is not just a retail problem or law enforcement problem. It is a community problem on multiple levels. And it really is going to take a community solution, everyone working together. That sounds very basic, but it's true, and it's what we need to do and have to do if we're going to get this problem under control. And that's a role that Alto is helping with here in the Los Angeles area.
How many different cities do you work with?
Currently, we're in the Los Angeles market only. We launched here because, as you're aware of, Los Angeles unfortunately has the title of the top organized retail theft capital in the U.S., and it has been that way for many years. But internationally, we're all across Latin America and in Spain as well, from Mexico City to Cartagena to Bogota to Madrid.
All right. Joe?
You know, I think in the retail industry, we employ one out of every four American workers. So we have a huge employee population. Plus, every community member visits the store, your friends, your family, neighbors, etc. So retailers are a very safe place to go, and we don't want any of this discussion to take away from the fact that people will go there and have a great time. But I think the takeaway is we want to be aware of our surroundings. We want to do that safely. If we see something, say something. And, of course, have a great time and a good holiday season.
I'm going to double down on that because I think, you know, when we do talk about things that are on the dark side, we forget the things that are on the bright side. And I think it is important, I'm glad you said it, that retailers are a great place to go. You know, you shouldn't be deterred. You should just be a smart shopper.
That's right.
Really, absolutely. The bottom line, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, from a law enforcement perspective, with just a lot of the issues that we talked about, we just are trying to think outside the box and kind of create a new paradigm about how we address this problem, working with our private partners and security and working with the vertical prosecution, things like that, to have an all-encompassing solution to it.
You get the last word, but I get the last question, so that means you get another last word. And that next to the last question here is how big is this growing in Los Angeles? We just heard from Carl that we're the capital of organized
retail theft.
How bad is this getting, and does it continue to escalate?
You know what? It has been increasing, and a lot of it has to do with some of the things that we talked about earlier. But that's why you know, we have to think of new ways to work with our community to address these problems rather than just thinking that we're going to arrest our way out of it.
But I want you to think about, you know, people that are listening who just they see something and they react to it. That's an understandable thing. You want to save somebody's life. You want to put somebody out of harm's way. You maybe try to be a quote-unquote hero. You can get in a lot of trouble that way. You can get hurt. You can get killed.
Well, yeah, you can. That is our biggest fear, is that somebody, as we've seen some of these thefts turn into very violent encounters with security, with community members that try to jump in, we're telling them, look, we just need you to be a good witness. If you can tape it on your phone, do that, but from a safe distance. If you can get a good description of the suspects, vehicles, license plate numbers, stand back, just gather that information, don't put yourself in harm's way, and when law enforcement shows up, give it to us and let us handle it.
It's about holding people accountable for their actions, and that's not to say that everybody belongs in jail. In fact, I would say the vast majority of these individuals don't need to be in jail. It could be a mental health issue. It could be a drug issue. But they need to go through the system and have the system assist them in getting the counseling they need, the mental health treatment they need. And in some cases, it will be for incarceration. But it first has to start with the retailer reporting it to authorities and letting the system work.
All right. So one more thing. Y'all want to wish everybody a happy holiday?
We do.
Go ahead.
Happy holiday to everyone, and a safe holiday. Enjoy yourself.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays, and be safe.
And what the hell, right?
What the hell?
What the hell?
Don't let yourself get caught up in a shoplifting incident. But if you see something,
say something.
Be safe, not sorry. I'm sure I could do a whole litany of these sort of things, but the bottom line is be smart.
That's it.
Be smart.
Be smart.
I'd like to thank all of our guests for being on this podcast. Remember some of those words of wisdom. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to my podcast, What the Hell. And if you could, give us 5 stars or maybe 5.5. See you next time, everybody.